He's the host of a few shows, Rams Edge included, part of the Believe Network. He's on Sirius XM, Sports Grid TV. Check out his Twitter handle. It is JK Bogan. We head east. Jake Ellenbogen joins us. Jake, great having you. How's life in the 518?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's going well. You know, aside from the fact that the Rams are so bad this year, I think everything's gone pretty well.
Right. So as a first-time guest, and I know listeners particularly in my age group will love it. So the backstory from what we who grew up in the shadow of Manhattan call, you're a New York State guy. If you could make the connection, tell me how, despite geography, you became a big Rams guy.
Yes. I get asked this all the time. How did you, you know, in upstate New York, start liking the Rams? Did you jump on the bandwagon? Which is funny because you had asked me this during the So-Star Rams era. you wouldn't have asked me this during the So-Star Rams era. So, you know, my dad grew up next to Jim Youngblood in Irvine, California, who was at the time the linebacker for the Rams. And, you know, he became a fan of them, and then he raised me essentially to become a Rams fan. He moved back to New York, you know, that's how I'm a Rams fan. I've been following them ever since. I mean, I've watched every game that I can remember. I could tell you every quarterback that's played. I mean, I literally had – I was asked on air by one of our listeners to, you know, name every single quarterback, and they would donate X amount of dollars on the stream, and they did because I named all, like, I think it was 32. so, you know – guys like Tom Brandstater and Scott Covington. I mean, I can name them all. I've seen them all, and I'm definitely happy with number 9 at quarterback.
Yeah, well, I could tell you the first Ram quarterback I saw play as a little kid was Roman Gabriel, just to kind of give you a gauge of how far I date back. But, of course, the Rams
entered. That's my guy.
Yeah.
I interviewed him, so I
really
know Roman.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the Rams.
Yeah, he's amazing.
That they entered this season. You looked at this season, the Niners, the Seahawks, quarterback changes, L.A., the favorite to win the West, the reigning champs. So from your chair, before they kicked off that Thursday against the Bills, what was your confidence level, and was there any way to see that they'd somehow enter December 3-8?
I mean, I guess, you know, to an extent, you know, on the latter part of that question, you know, you could see something like that if Stafford suffered, you know, one of those nightmare injuries on, you know, in the first game. But even still, you know, I'm on record, you know, going on shows and saying on my own stuff, you know, this is a team that is built well enough where if Bryce Perkins or, who's funny, he's probably going to start this week, but Bryce Perkins or John Wolford, you know, had to start and quarterback this team, like, I still think they could make the playoffs. But at the same time, you know, obviously not with 14 different offensive linemen starting on the season and being, you know, the first team in NFL history to start 11 different combinations on the offensive line. So, I mean, I guess there are a lot of things that went down this year, but, you know, really to go back to the beginning of your question, no, I actually saw this team repeating. I felt like they were going to repeat, and I felt like that game against Buffalo, which I actually, you know, I had some inside knowledge that was going to be, you know, the start of the season, I think like 2 or 3 months before it actually came out. And, you know, I was pretty excited because I felt like, you know, those were the two best teams. Buffalo is going to get, you know, their revenge on Kansas City in the playoffs and, you know, the next year, and I think they're going to be in the playoffs and, you know, go to the Super Bowl, and I thought the Rams would go back, but that's not what happened. So, yeah, it's been very, very interesting season. And it's tested me as a content creator, you know, because, I mean, I went through it when I first started in 2016 when the Rams first moved to L.A. and they started off 3-1 and they only won one game the rest of the year. So I guess in a sense it's kind of like that, except the expectations weren't anywhere near as high as they were this year.
Talking with Jake Ellenbogen, Rams Edge podcast. The radio guy, J.B. Long, is a colleague. He's called a bunch of Pac-12 games. And I asked him this question right before the season started. Aaron Donald, before the big contract, you know, a guy who's being mentioned among the all-time greats, be it Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor. He was talking about maybe walking away from the game. I had a sense of it was just the emotions, what they had just accomplished, what a grind it is. If you could kind of hearken back, I mean, how real do you think he was really considering walking away? Or was it, like I said, kind of the emotion of the moment where guys just realize what a grind it is to tee it up for an NFL season?
Well, you know, I initially kind of looked at it like, okay, you know, like you're saying, it's an emotional thing. You just won a Super Bowl and, you know, you're good. But then I come to find out that, you know, he had actually sent in his retirement papers. He had filled them out. He had not sent them to the league. But he had filled them out and he decided not to. I think he has to drop them off to the Rams and the Rams have to send them over to the NFL. So I think that's kind of how that worked. The Rams had them and then they hashed out a deal. And so he never had to actually retire. But I mean, it got more real than I expected. I never bought it. I never bought the McVay stuff. I never bought the Donald stuff. You know, I never bought any of that, but I guess it was closer than I initially gave it credit for.
So now you got this game against the Seahawks, who've got everything to play for. It's at SoFi midweek. I've been hearing a lot of news, a lot of updates. The performance of Bryce Perkins in the first game, his first NFL start. So is he the guy now? Are they going to shut down Stafford? Is Wolford back in the picture? How would you, with what you know now, describe the L.A. quarterback situation?
Yeah, it's a doozy. You know, definitely didn't think we'd be talking about Bryce Perkins in Week 13. But hey, you know, this is a great guy. I've had him on my show, you know, 3 times, and really happy for him to have this opportunity. John Wolford is in the picture, so you know, Sean McVay did mention that. You know, while he wasn't really able to go last week, you know, he is in the picture. He is feeling better, and there's a chance that they both play, which. Yeah, I'm not really a fan of that at all. I think you got to stick with one quarterback, you know, especially both are rhythm passers, and then you take them out of the rhythm, and it's like there's no point of even doing that. So Stafford, I think, is going to get shut down. I think they're trying to kind of save face because they don't want to admit that, like, the season's over because, I mean, funny enough, whether you realize it or not, their playoff percentage, the playoff chance percentage increased after their loss. Just because of who lost.
Right.
So it went up from 2% to 3% following the loss to Kansas City. And, I mean, 2% to 3% is still something, but it's very bleak. This team is the one thing that you can say the redeeming quality is that they're in every single game in the fourth quarter. So they fight hard. It's just they have not been able to finish games. The play calling has been great. The offensive line has been, you know, like I already mentioned, you know, just a merry-go-round of different players and, you know, guys that, you know, one guy was, you know, trying to join the police academy. Another one, you know, was with the Rams in 2012 and never got a chance to play. And now he was actually getting a start this year, Ty Nsekhe. So there's been a lot of different moving parts. And, you know, the unfortunate thing against Kansas City is I thought they played well enough to potentially win that game. Problem is, the right side of the offensive line played pretty well. The left side did not. They started rookie, you know, left tackle A.J. Arcuri, who, you know, helped create some holes for, you know, Kenneth Walker at Michigan State. And, you know, then you had left guard. It was Matt Skura, who is a, you know, veteran in the league. He's played a lot of center, but he was playing guard. And, yeah, they just they didn't do really well there, and there's a lot of blindside pressure that, you know, didn't allow Perkins to really explore what he could do. So to make a long story short, though, I think Stafford is going to get shut down. I know they're still doing that whole he's in the concussion protocol. Aaron Donald's ruled out for the game. So I think we're getting closer to that point. They're just probably not going to say it until they really want to do it. But, I mean, A'shaun Robinson, Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp, all these guys that they're, you know, they're potentially losing for the season, there's no reason, as long as Stafford is good to go for next year, there's no reason to put him out there. If Stafford were to say he wants to retire and he wants to play the last however many games in the season, I could see that. But if he plans on coming back and not retiring, then I don't expect to see him the rest of the 2022-23 season.
Yeah, and no truth to the rumor Orlando Pace is considering coming out of retirement. We continue. Jake Ellenbogen here, courtesy of our friends at Believe. I got to ask you about the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. You know, they set the record. They've picked quarterbacks in the top three twice in 5 years. But there they are, 7-4, despite Zach Wilson playing the spoiled fool. Enter Mike White, who, for folks might not realize, he got drafted the same year that the Jets took Sam Darnold by Dallas.
Yeah.
Just what about his performance last week? I feel like it kind of reignited this playoff push.
It's so weird for me because, you know, I was not extremely high on Wilson when he came out. He was the fourth guy out of those quarterbacks. And honestly, I like Davis Mills and Mac Jones, I think, a little bit more. I just didn't want to let the – I didn't want to completely sell the hype of Zach Wilson, but I had my concerns. There were times I felt like he kind of looked like a Johnny Manziel type of, you know, quarterback.
Right.
I was a big Trey Lance guy, so it's not like I got that right. You know, we'll see down the road. But as at the moment, I thought Trey Lance was the best quarterback in that draft. I liked Fields. But the funny thing about Mike White, you know, you go back to that draft with Darnold. Mike White is not a guy I really saw doing much in the NFL, and I had seen him at the Senior Bowl. And there were coaches and, you know, scouts around me at the Senior Bowl practices that very much liked him. And, you know, he drew some oohs and ahs from the crowd, but I don't know, he just did not impress me on the level I expected. And, you know, now here he is. You know, he had that one huge game. It was, I think, 2 years ago where he just, you know, he exploded onto the scene. And then, you know, he kind of became the starter and he struggled a little bit and, you know, couldn't really find his rhythm. And then, you know, obviously he wasn't the starter anymore. They go through Joe Flacco and all that. I was all for benching Zach Wilson because the thing about, you know, watching each game this year is that you could look at Zach Wilson's win-loss record, you know, since he's joined the Jets, and that's saying a lot. But there's a lot that's changed. You know, they've made adjustments in that time. The defense has gotten better each week. And, you know, I think the offense came alive a little bit more. With Zach Wilson, though, the biggest issue and why he needed to be benched is because he was missing the layups. It's not that he couldn't make, like, the big throw. He was missing the easy throws, the throws that you have to make to keep a lead a lead. Otherwise, you lose. And, you know, Mike White, you know, last Sunday against the Bears, I mean, in the pouring rain, no less,
right,
was hitting every one of those throws and making the big throws. So it's one of those things where, you know, Robert Saleh probably shouldn't have said that, hey, you know, this isn't the end for Zach Wilson this year. He'll play again. I'm not so sure he'll play again because if Mike White plays like that, they're going to be maybe in the AFC title game because their defense is that good. And if he can manage the game, then they're going to be a problem. They're going to be like the Bengals were last year.
You know, the last thing I want to get to, I can't let a fellow Yankees fan leave without talking about Aaron Judge. Love the guy.
Yeah.
Love the guy. He's going to be 31. Technically, he's only played 3 full seasons. I look at the Yanks, and they're just two homer or die. and they've got that fatal flaw. They can't get from the 7th to the 8th to the 9th without a whole bunch of drama because of the bullpen. So what's the logic? We all get to play GM in our mind. Do they go long-term? And we figure, hell, it's Steinbrenner's money, not ours. What's your read on how to properly handle this number 99 elephant in the room?
Well, I love how you said it, because that's exactly it. It is really home run or die. And I feel like there are guys like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa that the fan base just dogs on. But if you had a bunch of IKFs in your lineup, let's not talk about him playing completely out of position when he's a Gold Glove third baseman. They bring him in to play shortstop, and it doesn't work. But as far as a hitter perspective, if you had more contact bats, and you're not all or nothing, then, you know, there's less of a chance all of your, you know, lineup is going to slump the way they did. And I feel like, you know, that is a big thing. They got all those all or nothing home run guys hitting at the same time when they were on that crazy run. But then towards the end of the year, it started to be like, hey, everybody is in a slump except for Judge. And then sometimes Rizzo would be available, and then Rizzo would get hurt. And Stanton wasn't the same after the All-Star game injury. He never should have played in. So, you know, it's just it's one of those things where I feel like, you know, that's the recipe, but I don't necessarily think they're going to win a World Series if they keep doing that. Now, the bullpen is on Aaron Boone's poor management of the bullpen, because you have had the best bullpen all year, and then going into August or September or whatever, while you're dealing with injuries, and you can say that's so flukish and all that, it's not. Because you're overusing them. You're overworking them. Why do you think I always call him Cole Hamels. I mean Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes. I have no idea why. Clay Holmes was dominant the first half of the season. But then he got overused, and you could see it, right? He wasn't the same guy at the end of the year. And losing, like, Michael King, obviously that was a freak thing, but you know, you lose a guy like Michael King, you overuse Clay Holmes, you overuse Wandy Peralta, you overuse all your guys in the bullpen, and, you know, it's like, this is the issue. And then on top of it, you had a guy in Domingo Germán that was your most consistent starter at the end of the year, and he doesn't even pitch in the postseason. So there was a lot of different things. Hats off to them making the trade. To go out and get Bader. He's going to be great this year.
Yep.
But I think when you look at just everything going on, Aaron Judge, they both were 99. Aaron Judge, to me, I think they've put themselves in a position where they have to pay him. I don't know how you start over without him. And I'm also a homer with Aaron Judge, because this is the guy I wanted back in the draft. When they got him in the MLB draft. It's the only MLB draft I've ever watched. I can tell you who they drafted. Eric Jagiello, they drafted Ian Clarkin, and they took Aaron Judge as their third pick in the first round. That was with the Nick Swisher compensatory. So, I'm all for bringing him back, and I think they put themselves in that position by not ever agreeing to an extension ahead of time, which I don't know why they did. But I think you got to bring him back. I think they do. And then I think you could see them bringing in either, you know, a Michael Conforto, Cody Bellinger, like one of those guys. And I think they're going to get Noah Syndergaard, from how it sounds. So, I think Syndergaard with his, you know, he's a big sinker ball pitcher. And Matt Blake is literally obsessed with sinker ball pitchers. So I think they're going to go after Thor. And I think, you know, as much as I would like Benintendi back, I think they're going to replace him with probably a Conforto or a Cody Bellinger. I could totally see Bellinger, because unfortunately they're going to stick to the same type of home run or nothing. And I think Bellinger is a guy that you look at and you're like, oh, well, you know, he was once an MVP, you know, with the Dodgers. So why don't we just bring him in here? It's Yankee Stadium, you know, that short porch. And just see what we can do with him. I could totally see it. It feels very obvious, like, because they have been really predictable in what they do. So that's what I feel like is going to happen. Now, I would just plead that they just build around the kids. So you want to bring Judge in, great. I'm not against paying Judge. What I'm against is going out and buying a championship. What I'm against is Aaron Hicks being on the roster when the season starts and Donaldson being on the roster when the season starts. I might trade a decent prospect just to get rid of them. And then that way your infield are guys like, you know, Oswaldo Peraza, Cabrera, you know, and then Volpe, you know, from the minors. You know, I think you have way too much talent, you know, in the farm. You got to start, you know, giving those guys an opportunity. And I think they've hit on some guys, but if you want to go back to 2017 when they were the closest to winning the World Series, that was the year where they really embraced the whole baby boomer. And that is when I think they got the closest. They have not been as close as when they did that. So I think they got to go back to that. And I think it starts with the young middle infielders, Cabrera, Peraza, and Volpe.
All right. Well, as we close November, we light up the hot stove, throw in some Jets talk, Rams, Seahawks. He's Jake Ellenbogen. We covered a bunch, host of the Rams Edge. Get all the hashtags, see all he covers from the Rams to the Marvel Cinematic Universe page, SiriusXM, Sports Grid TV, his handle on Twitter at JK Bogan. Jake, really, really appreciate the time. Great info, fun stuff. Have an awesome holiday, and definitely look forward to talking again down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and you have a great holiday as well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jake.